Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
As we look out our windows, Father, we see sunshine this morning. We thank you so much for the evidence of spring. We thank you for the sun, that your son, who also brings healing and warmth and newness of life, will only take him into our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for answering our prayers as to our Bible worker. Lord, we know that you are working for us and always looking out for our best interests. And we thank you for the answer to many prayers. Remember the Ministry Placement Committee as they meet tomorrow. We pray that each member will recognizing the positions and putting the people and the positions together so that our church can function to your glory. Thank you for every member that has come here this morning, and we pray for the youth that are traveling this morning. Keep them safe. We also have come here with thankfulness. We've also come here with thoughts in our mind, asking you for, you've said to ask, and we would receive. And so this morning, many of us are here kneeling and believing in that promise. And at this moment, I pause for you to listen to our requests. And may our requests touch your heart in a way that answers can be made and given that will bring glory to you, and also healing and happiness and all the other things that you give us in this life. So at this moment, we just quietly ask for you to be here with us. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, and we pray that this coming week that you will touch our hearts and our minds in a way that we will realize the necessity of walking through this life with purity of heart and purity of mind, only given to us by you. May your Holy Spirit guide us in all that we do and all that we say. May our actions be to glorify you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Time for the children's story.
It was April, and it was a Sunday night, and it was 1912. That's a long time ago. The largest ship then known to man was crossing the Atlantic. It had left England, and on the ship was a certain Colonel Gracie. And as the ship plowed along in the North Atlantic, it hit an iceberg. And it was supposed to be an unsinkable ship. But for some reason, the iceberg cut many of the bulkheads. Yes. It was the Titanic, that's right. The Titanic, one of the largest ships built at that time. And it was sinking. And as you know, it sank. And many, many people lost their lives. Actually, about 1,500 or 1,600 people actually lost their lives. But at the time the Titanic was crossing the Atlantic, Colonel Gracie's wife, who was in America, very comfortable, had a premonition. Do you know what a premonition is? You ever hear that word? It's this kind of, something is going to happen, and I don't know why, but something is going to happen. Or something is troubling me. And so she began to pray. And she prayed, and she prayed, and she prayed until 5 o'clock in the morning, when in her mind there was a relief. She felt like, okay, it's okay, I can go to sleep now. So she prayed a long time. At that moment, or that time when she was praying, the Titanic was sinking. And Colonel Gracie, you realize there were not enough lifeboats. And so what Colonel Gracie was doing is he was helping the women and children to get into the lifeboats. And he said, and realized that there was, as I said, there was not enough room, so he was going to have to go down with a ship. A lot of people did go down with a ship. And so, As he was helping with the lifeboat, the boat was sinking, sinking, sinking. And finally, one last big crash and the boat went under. And Colonel Gracie went under with the boat. But he was on the deck. And when you go down, when a boat goes down like that, it evidently sucks everything down with it. But as he was being sucked down, he went down, down, down. But then he came up and he surfaced. And as he surfaced, there was an overturned lifeboat. And he crawled on top of the overturned lifeboat along with a few other people. And there he remained until the next morning when another boat came by and picked up the survivors, which were few, other than the ones that were in the lifeboat. And so from then on, Colonel Gracie and his wonderful wife believed that they had a definite answer to prayer. Do you think that was an answer to prayer? Most definitely. Now, I'm going to ask you a couple questions. And I want to see if you can answer these. These are people who prayed, and I want to see if you know who they were. Who prayed for a child and then dedicated him to the temple? I'm waiting for an answer. Who prayed for a child and then dedicated him to the temple? What's your name? Do you know who that was that prayed? It was Hannah. Did you know that? Hannah prayed for a child, and when the child came, the child was dedicated. And who was that child? Samuel. Do you remember Samuel? Okay, the next question. Who prayed three times a day and it cost him a visit to the lion's den? Oh, who was it?
Daniel.
Right. Okay, next one. Who prayed for rain when there was no rain for 3 years?
Noah.
Well, that was a good try. That's a good try, Christopher. Who prayed for rain after when there was no rain for 3 years? Anybody? Then when the rain came, he ran. And then he was translated to heaven. And then he met Jesus in transfiguration. Do you know who that person is? Elijah. Remember Elijah, the story of Elijah? Maybe I should have said, who prayed for the axe, that head that fell in the water? Would you have known then? Okay. Okay. Who prayed unto the Lord out of the fish belly? Who prayed to the Lord out of the fish belly?
Jonah.
Right. Okay. And lastly, and this is a very important prayer, who prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane for all of us sitting and standing here today? Who prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane? Hannah.
Jesus,
that's right. And so, should we believe that prayers are answered? Yes, very definitely. Colonel Gracie and his wife certainly believed it. And I'm certain Jonah believed it when he got, what, vomited up on the beach. Okay, you can go back to your seats now.
We've all known this story. Chapter 6, 1 through 3. Come and let us return to the Lord, for he has torn, but he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us, and on the third day, he will raise us up, that we may live in his sight. Let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and former rain to the earth.
We all love beautiful spring days like today, don't we? And we pray for good weather often. I remember just this last Sunday, I went with some young people up to the Camp Osable for their outdoor camp for a day, and they were praying for good weather. It's usually just the farmers who are praying for rain, right? But the rest of us pray for sunshine. But you know, in the Bible, it tells us that we should pray for rain. Of course, in the Bible, it is using the illustration of what the farmer is praying for rain to come and water his crops so that a seed can grow and he will have a harvest. But the Bible doesn't just stop there with talking about praying for rain for a food, but it talks about praying for the Holy Spirit to come like the rain. And so here in Zechariah chapter 10 and verse 1, we have this passage. It says, "Ask the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain. The Lord will make flashing clouds. He will give them showers of rain, grass in the field for everyone." So here we find a promise that if we ask the Lord for rain, that he will send the rain. Now, did the children of Israel experience this in their history? Of course, in the children's story, Dick talked about a man who prayed for rain when there was a drought for 3.5 years. And in the book of Deuteronomy, God spoke to his children and he said this, "For the land which you go to possess is not like the land of Egypt from which you have come, where you sowed your seed and watered it by foot as a vegetable garden, but the land which you cross over to possess is a land of hills and valleys, which drink water from the rain of heaven, a land for which the Lord your God cares. The eyes of the Lord your God are always on it, from the beginning of the year to the very end of the year." I like that, don't you? That the eyes of the Lord are on that land and that he would send the rain for their crops to grow. I remember when I went last year to Bolivia to a school there, and the school had a garden, and the garden looked very sad. And they had to carry buckets of water from the creek and then water each plant, and they gave each one a little drop, but it wasn't enough to make them grow real well. And one of their great needs was to have a watering system. But here God promised the children of Israel that he would send the rain on this land that they were going into possess. And he said, "And it shall be that if you earnestly obey my commandments, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will give you the rain for your land in its season, the early rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in your grain, your new wine and your oil." You see, the early rain was needed to germinate the seed that had been planted. And then as the plants grew up, there was a need of another shower of rain to cause that to those plants, the wheat or whatever it was, to grow up and then ripen for the harvest. And so God promised that if they were obedient to him, to love him with all their hearts and serve him, he would be faithful in sending the rain. And he said, "And I will send grass into your fields for your livestock, that you may eat and be filled. Take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them, lest the Lord's anger be aroused against you, and he shut up the heavens so that there be no rain, and the land yield no produce, and you perish quickly from the good land which the Lord is giving you." So here we find that God made them a wonderful promise that he would provide for them, he'd send the rain, he'd cause their crops to grow, as long as they were willing to follow him and love him with all their hearts. But if they were to turn aside from him and serve their idols, then God said that he would cause the heavens to shut up so that there would be no rain. Of course, we know from the history of the Bible that there were times where God did shut up the heavens and there was no rain. But we find that this is an illustration of what God desires to do with his Holy Spirit for us spiritually. Do you ever feel dead spiritually? Sometimes we do feel dead spiritually. But here, as we are waiting for the Lord to come, and he has promised to come, we are told in James chapter 5, verse 7, "Therefore be what? Patient." We need to be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until he receives the early and the latter rain. I believe that God is the farmer of this earth. The Bible uses the illustration of a harvest, a great harvest that's going to occur at the end of this world, and he's going to harvest his people and take them home. And I believe that he is longing to pour out his Holy Spirit and latter rain power to finish the work so that he can bring in his harvest. In Hosea chapter 6 and verse 3, part of our scripture reading, we have this passage. "Let us know Let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and former rain to the earth. Now that's what we need, don't we? Sometimes when we feel like we're not growing spiritually, like we're dead, we need the Holy Spirit to quicken that seed of His Word that has been planted in our hearts so that it will grow and bear fruit. In Joel 2:28 through 32, there is this prophecy of the end of time. And it says there, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that, don't you? Whoever calls, whoever will, can call on Him. "For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be a deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls." So here we find another prophecy, a promise that God is going to pour out His Spirit. We have seen it happen in the past. The Bible records Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was poured out in power and the gospel went forward to the then known world. It went very quickly under the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible promises that in the last days the same thing is going to happen again with the same power, maybe even greater power than was experienced then. In Revelation 18 and verse 1, we get another picture of it. Where it says that after these things I saw another angel coming down from heaven having great authority, and the earth was illumined with his glory. It's another way of saying the same thing. The angel is a messenger, a message. And so under the power of the Holy Spirit, as God's people go forward and finish the work for the harvest, it is like an angel with a message of great authority from God going out to the whole world. In the devotional book, The Faith I Live By, page 333, it says there that the latter rain, ripening earth's harvest, represents the spiritual grace that prepares the church for the coming of the Son of Man. But unless the former rain has fallen, there will be no life, the green blade will not spring up. Unless the early showers have done their work, the latter rain can bring no seed to perfection. I don't know if you've ever seen when there's torrential rain, it really doesn't do a lot of good, does it? I remember in Bolivia there, they had had 3 months of dry season and everything was dry and dusty and nothing was growing except for the well-established trees and so forth of the forest. And then while we were there, the rain came down in bucketfuls and it was, I've never seen rain like it before. But it really didn't do a lot of good. All the roads were being eroded away, and in the middle of the rain we had to go out there and dig some channels to try and stop the roads from washing away. But here we are told that we need the early rain to get the seed germinating. We need this in our lives spiritually so that we can receive the latter rain and it can have some benefit for us as we finish the work that God has given us. How do we receive this former rain? The Holy Spirit. In Luke 11, verse 13, Jesus said this, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" So what do we need to do in order to receive the former rain? We need to ask. God is waiting for us to ask for the Holy Spirit. And when we ask for it, do you think He's going to withhold it? No. But there are conditions to Him giving us the Holy Spirit, and we're going to see some of that. Unless, this is from Testimonies to Ministers, page 507, unless we are daily advancing in the exemplification of the active Christian virtues. In other words, unless we are growing into Christ-likeness, unless we are cooperating with God as He works in our lives, we shall not recognize the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in the latter rain. It may be falling on hearts all around us, but we shall not discern or receive it. So what do we need to be doing in order to receive the former rain and to benefit from the former rain and to receive the latter rain? We need to be growing. And that's what the former rain does. It germinates the seed and causes growth. In Romans 8:14, it tells us that for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. So it is vitally important for us to have the Holy Spirit working in our lives and to be led. We need to know that daily we are being led by the Holy Spirit and not just going about our own plans and our own agendas and our own ways, because God identifies his children as those who are being led by his Holy Spirit. You know, I believe that the Holy Spirit still speaks to us today. He still impresses us. Just like in I love that children's story that Dick shared of the wife of that man who prayed when she received an impression. Where did that impression come from? Came from the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit wants to lead us in our daily lives. And what is the result of the Holy Spirit working in our lives and this former rain? Galatians 5:22 and 23 tells us the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the fruits. These are the results of us yielding our lives to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and allowing his Holy Spirit to lead us and to fill us. How many of you want to experience that? We all can experience that, and we just need to ask. In the Review and Herald, February 18, 1890, this statement was written, says, "What we need is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Without this, we are no more fitted to go forth to the world than were the disciples after the crucifixion of their Lord." Think about that for a moment. The disciples, when Jesus died and went into the tomb, and all their hopes were shattered, were they ready to go forward to the world and preach the gospel to every creature? They weren't ready. They were mourning. They were sad. They were depressed. And the list can go on. They were not ready. And so what they needed was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus told them exactly what to do to receive the Holy Spirit. In the Review and Herald, March 22, 1887, "There is nothing that Satan fears so much as that the people of God shall clear the way by removing every hindrance so that the Lord can pour out his Spirit upon a languishing church and an impenitent congregation. When the way is prepared for the Spirit of God, what will come? The blessing of the Holy Spirit will come." So we need to clear the way. In Christ Object Lessons, page 139, this is how Jesus received his baptism of the Holy Spirit. It says that daily he received a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit. "In the early hours of the new day, the Lord awakened him from his slumbers, and his soul and his lips were anointed with grace that he might impart to others." So as he was led by the Holy Spirit, he was woken. Have you ever been woken in the night and felt that God was trying to get your attention and speak to you? I believe that he still does that today. Sometimes I have my alarm set and I wake up earlier than that and I think, why am I wide awake? And then I realize God wants me to spend time in prayer. And so I spend that time in prayer, and what a blessing it is. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, it tells us there that we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. What does that mean? It means that when we spend time every morning with Jesus, that as we read about him in the Word of God, as we think about him and meditate on what a wonderful person he was, as we think about the love that he had to come and give his life for us and demonstrating the love of God, as we think about that and we meditate on it and let that move and warm our hearts, as we do that, what happens? It says we are changed into what? The same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. You see, this is part of the Holy Spirit being received in the former rain. It's part of us growing as a result of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. So we cooperate with God in order to receive this by spending time with him, meditating on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 13:21, As we receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit, it says that it will make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. So as we spend time with Jesus, we learn of His will. And as we surrender our lives to Him, He works in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. He changes us, transforms our lives. In The Desire of Ages, page 173, we are told that when the Spirit of God takes possession of the heart, it transforms the life. Sinful thoughts are put away. Evil deeds are renounced. Love, humility, and peace takes the place of anger, envy, and strife. Joy takes the place of sadness, and the countenance reflects the light of heaven. I think that's beautiful, and it's a wonderful thing to experience. I remember when I gave my life to the Lord, you know, all these evil thoughts that I had thought before and that were still plaguing me, I didn't want them anymore. And I remember praying and pleading with God to change my thoughts. And you know what? He did. He gave me a new channel of thoughts. He gave me something to replace those thoughts with. And what a wonderful blessing that was. And it did change my countenance, and it did change me. And I praise God for the power of His Holy Spirit to do that. Now, when is the latter rain going to come? We don't know when it's going to come. But we are told here that we need not worry about the latter rain. All we have to do is keep the vessel what? Clean. And right side up and prepared for the reception of the heavenly rain. And keep what? Praying. Let the latter rain come into my vessel. Let the light of the glorious angel which unites with the third angel shine upon me. Give me a part in the work. Let me sound the proclamation. Let me be a co-laborer with Jesus Christ. Thus, seeking God, let me tell you, He is fitting you up all the time, giving you His grace. So what is it? It's being ready all the time and praying, Lord, let Your Holy Spirit fill me. Let me be one who receives it. We can all be workers together with Jesus Christ, can't we? Doesn't matter how old you are or whether you're even bound to a bed, there is something you can do. In fact, I don't know how many of you have read Roger Monod's books on prayer, The Incredible Answers to Prayer and More Incredible Answers to Prayer. You know, towards the end of his life, his heart was only working at a third the capacity. And he couldn't get up and get around. He had to stay lying down most of the day. But do you know what he did? While he was laying there, he prayed for people. And the Lord blessed his ministry, and many lives were touched and changed as a result of him praying. So all of us, no matter what our circumstances are, can be co-laborers with Jesus Christ and do something to help bring about the harvest. Jesus said in Matthew 9, 37 and 38, the harvest truly is what? Plentiful. But the laborers are what? Few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. This was the burden of Jesus Christ. When he said, go and make disciples, he was meaning make laborers for the harvest field. Go and make followers of me. And when he said to Peter, I will make you a fisher of men. That's what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And he said, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest field. In John 4:35, Jesus said, do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes, look at the fields, for they are already white for the harvest. You know, God wants us to look around and see how many people there are who, if they have the opportunity, will respond to the Lord and give their lives to Him. He wants us to see how many there are if we will work with him. What a difference it will make. How many will come in as a result. The Review and Herald, July 21, 1896. The statement there says, an awakened church, when we have entire, wholehearted consecration to the service of Christ, God will recognize the fact by an outpouring of his Spirit without what? Measure. Wow. But this will not be while the largest portion of the church are not laborers together with God. So what do we need to do in order for God to pour out his Holy Spirit in latter rain power? We all need to be laborers together with him. We all need to feel the burden of the work and do something. Pray, Lord, use me in some way. Look for some way that we can make a difference so that he can pour out his spirit and then we can go home. Now, let's look at how the disciples prepared to receive the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Jesus gave them specific instruction on what to do. In Acts 1, verses 4 and 5, it says there, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.'" So Jesus promised to them that they would receive the Holy Spirit in power, and he told them to wait for it. And in Acts 1 and verse 8, a few verses later, he said, "But you shall receive" what? "Power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me." And he said, and then he said, "You will go into all the world," basically, to spread the gospel when they received power. And isn't that what we need today in order to fulfill the gospel commission? We need power from God. In Acts 1, 13 and 14, this is what they did. It says, "They went up into the upper room where they were staying, Peter, James, John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. These all continued with" what? "One accord in prayer and supplication with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers." So they had a massive prayer meeting, and they prayed, and they were praying for this promise that God had given, that Jesus had said. And while they were praying, they were humbling their hearts, they were confessing their sins, they were making wrongs right, the contentions they had with one another. And when they were prepared, then the Holy Spirit was poured out. And in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Wow, that is power. And that power came upon them, and they spoke in languages that they'd never spoken in before, and people from all around the then known world heard the gospel preached in their language, and it touched their hearts. And in one day, 3,000 gave their lives to Jesus Christ and were baptized into the church. Now that's power, isn't it? And I believe that God is waiting and longing to pour out his Holy Spirit again on us so that we can receive that power and take the gospel to the world and finish the work. In the devotional book, The Faith I Live By, page 333, it says there, every individual must realize his own what? Necessity. That's who? Me. That's right. And you. The heart must be emptied of every defilement and cleansed for the indwelling of the Spirit. It was by the confession and forsaking of sin, by earnest prayer and consecration of themselves to God, that the early disciples prepared for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. The same work, only in greater degree, must be done when? Now. So if we want the Holy Spirit to be poured out on us, we need to do the same, don't we, as they did to receive it. In the book Last Day Events, page 194, we are told the answer may come with sudden velocity and overpowering might, or it may be delayed for days and weeks, and our faith receive a trial. But God knows how and when to answer our prayer. It is our part of the work to put ourselves in connection with the divine channel. God is responsible for his part of the work. He is faithful who hath promised. So God is going to pour it out. We don't know when, but we need to be ready to receive it. If we're not ready, it will fall all around us and we will not recognize it or receive it. The same book, it says, the great and important matter with us is to be of one heart and mind, putting aside all envy and malice, and as humble supplicants. That means people who pray to watch and wait. Jesus, our representative and head, is ready to do for us what he did for the praying, watching ones on the day of Pentecost. I love these promises because I believe they are true, and God is going to fulfill his promise. Ellen White goes on and says, I have no specific time of which to speak when the outpouring of the Holy Spirit will take place, when the mighty angel will come down from heaven and unite with the third angel in closing up the work for this world. My message is that our only safety is in being ready for the heavenly refreshing, having our lamps trimmed and burning. So we need to be ready. It's the only safe thing to do, is to be ready. Now, imagine 16 million Seventh-day Adventists all praying at the same time for the same thing. Can you imagine what would happen? You know, there is a movement that is going on right now as we speak that has started in the Central California Conference, and many churches are joining in with them in praying for the Holy Spirit to be poured out and preparing to receive it. It is called Operation Global Rain. And you can go to their website, as you see there. The website's not there, but it's www.operationglobalrain.com. And I encourage you, go and visit that website, because there is all kind of wonderful, inspirational things to encourage us to be praying together. Now, what are they doing? They're encouraging a 10-day prayer meeting. Not a prayer meeting where we just have a reading and have a short prayer and go home, but a time where corporately we come together and pray and ask for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on us, and we prepare for that. The 10 days of prayer would start the 27th of June and end on the 7th of July. Now, it's interesting that 7-7-07 falls on a Sabbath. Did you know that? It falls on a Sabbath. And so the 10 days prior to that are a time to pray. And I'm glad that some of you are taking out your pens and taking note of those days, because really we should come together and pray, because God is longing to pour out his Holy Spirit upon us. And will we be a part of receiving the former rain in preparation? We don't know if God's going to pour out his latter rain power at the end of those 10 days. That's up to him. But what he is looking for is for us to prepare to receive it. Also, what is being encouraged is 40 minutes of prayer for 40 days prior to this 10-day time of prayer, and it starts on May 18th. So if each individual at home, in your closet, so to speak, spending time with the Lord alone for 40 minutes, just praying and asking the Lord to prepare us to receive that Holy Spirit and to search our hearts and help us have that clean vessel that will receive the Holy One, the Holy Spirit. And so this is something also you might want to take a note of, that date, and be committing to the Lord to spend that time in prayer. The last quote I have to share with you is this one. The angel who unites with the proclamation of the third message is to lighten the whole earth with his glory. A work of worldwide extent and unwanted power is here brought to view. The Advent movement was a glorious manifestation of the power of God. The first message was carried to every missionary station in the world, and in this country there was the greatest religious interest which has been witnessed in the land since the Reformation of the 16th century. So when the loud cry went out that Jesus was coming again, the Holy Spirit was poured out, and there was a great movement. And this is, of course, how the Seventh-day Adventist Church began. And notice what else it says. It says, but these are to be far exceeded by the mighty movement under the loud cry of the third message. The work will be similar to that of the day of Pentecost. Servants of God, with their faces lighted up and shining with holy consecration, hasten from place to place to proclaim the warning from heaven. By thousands of voices all over the earth, the message will be given. Miracles are wrought, the sick are healed, and signs and wonders follow the believers. Satan also works with lying wonders, even bringing fire down from heaven in the sight of men. Thus the inhabitants of the earth are brought to take their stand. Friends, I believe that Satan is already counterfeiting this pouring out of the Holy Spirit. We see all kinds of crazy things going on in the name of Christianity in the world. But God is longing to pour out His Spirit in the genuine outpouring of His Holy Spirit, one that leads people to an experience of salvation. How many of you really want to be prepared to receive the latter rain when it comes in its power? I certainly do, and I'm glad to see your hands. Praise God. Why don't we bow our heads and pray to the Lord and say, Lord, send us that necessary form of rain. Dear Lord Jesus, we are so glad that you came into this world and set hearts on fire with your love, with your salvation, with your cleansing, and with the promise to come back and receive us to yourself. Father, thank you that we have seen in history when you did pour out your Holy Spirit and what a wonderful work was done, and we are so grateful for that. And we know that once again you must pour out your Spirit to finish the work, to bring about the great harvest before you come. Lord, as a church, you saw the hands that went up. You know our hearts and you know that we long to see you come. And we pray, Father, that we will prepare to receive not only the former rain but the latter rain in its power. Lord, thank you for this movement that has been started where people all around the world are praying for the same thing at the same time. May we be part of that, Father, and may we be part of hastening your coming. May our faith be strong that if you do not pour out your Spirit at this time, that we will remain ready to receive it when you do. And so I pray that you will bless each of us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Our Father, we pray that as we leave this place, may we leave with the blessing of having been in your presence, and may we cherish it, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you are a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.